All right, we're live on the Stereo app. If you want to chime in and get involved with the conversation, what should we talk about, Max Pata?
Well, I was thinking about yesterday when you're talking about those pranks that your friends who are driving would play on you in the car. And I had one that we did, and I wonder if you did this too. It's whenever we were in a car with my buds in high school, and someone would fall asleep. The first person that falls asleep, it was almost second nature for all of us to then look at each other. The driver would stick his hand in the air with a three count, one, two, three, and on three, everybody yells for dear life as the driver just starts swerving. So the guy who's sleeping wakes up just shitting his pants.
Yeah, it's funny. We didn't do that one, although in a weird way, that was a little, I don't know, it wasn't consequential enough for us. I mean, it would scare the person momentarily, but we would wait for people to pass out. And when they passed out, this is more of consumption of alcohol or drugs. Then, you know, we draw the dick on their forehead, or we would shave them, or we would tape them. We have duct tape them to like the chair they passed out in, and put like cigarette butts in their mouth, and usually take pictures of it. Sometime there was some resting of the sack on their forehead with the photograph as well. There was that. I remember one time, I don't think I've ever even told this story, but my neighbor was Eddie, and Eddie was like 3 or 4 years older than me. And you know, when you're 8 and you have a friend that's like 12, it's like the coolest thing in the world. It's like your old buddy. And he's like cool de facto because he's a few years older than you. And Eddie said, you want to sleep over? And I was like, oh, yeah. And then he said, like, my other friend, Jay, I don't know why, I think that's his name, is Jay. He's another, like, 12-year-old. Like, he's sleeping over, too. And I was like, oh, man, spending the night with the boys. This is awesome. And the night was uneventful. Slept on Eddie's floor, blah, blah, blah. Woke up the next day, had a whole bunch of big Sharpie dicks on my back or something. Him and Jay evidently desecrated me while I was asleep with a Sharpie, which made me, I didn't mind that I was desecrated with the Sharpie, but I remember like going, oh, the cool guys didn't want to hang out and have a slumber party. They just wanted to fucking have fun after I fell asleep. So evidently I was a pretty good sleeper back then. I didn't think he'd have a hard time doing that with me today. Yeah.
I was thinking of games we used to play as kids, and I don't think this game could be played today, but back when I was a kid, we would play a game called Fugitive. And this is like in high school. We were just right, I think around 18, 19. So we had cars, and what it would be is you'd have like teams of 10 to 20 guys on each side. So these would get pretty big, and we'd all meet like at the TJ Maxx parking lot, and that would be point A. And the game is half the guys were on a team, and they'd have to get to point B, which is about a mile, 2 miles away, by any means necessary. And then they get a 10-minute head start, and it's just basically a game of tag until and then we play back the other way with the other guys in the cars, and the team chase and gets cars. So we would be running in like people's backyards. We would definitely be trespassing. One guy stole a boat. Like it was pretty crazy stuff. And I think about now, just like all the home security, the cameras, everything on social media, like there's no way this game could be played now.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I would hop multiple fences and go in through neighbor yards, you know, cut through the middle of the neighborhood. I mean, I would crawl out of my window, jump the fence, like be in my neighbor's yard. I used to jump the fence at night and go in my neighbor's swimming pool when it was really hot. Like all the weird fence hopping, pool hopping, all the trespassing that used to go on. I mean, it's all out the window now with the Ring doorbell and just security cameras. Right. Like whenever our big thing was is also, you know, when I was a kid, things would close. You know what I mean? Like stores and places, they wouldn't be open on a Sunday. And that just meant you could get up on the roof. You know, and there was a lot of getting up on the roof, you know. There was a lot of, we used to go to my old school, Colfax Elementary, and we'd get up on the roof, and then we'd get up on the roof of the auditorium, and then we'd like lift the hatch to the roof on the auditorium and like crawl down the, you know, the ladder and be in the auditorium. Like there was a lot of being in places that were closed or being on places like roofs. I had a friend who lived in an apartment in North Hollywood. He had a pool and in the back of his apartment, but there was a condo that backed up to his apartment, and we'd get up on the roof and we'd jump off the condo into his pool. You'd have to clear, like there was a fence and then there's like 5-6 feet of, concrete, but you could make it pretty easily. But we would do it at night and we would do it naked. And that was the rub. So you would be on the roof of this condo nude. And if they spotted you, you were just trapped naked on this roof. No towel, no trunks, no nothing. We used to drive home from the beach naked, too. That was our other big move. We just get naked, throw everything in the back of the whatever car we're driving. And one time we pulled up to a signal on Ventura Boulevard, like off of a side street, and everyone was naked. And like it was one of those signals that never changed. And somebody said to like one of the guys, like, get out and push the button. And the guy's like, no way, I'm naked. And we're like, we'll wait for you here. And he was like, swear to God. And we're like, swear to God. And he got out of the car naked on Ventura Boulevard to push the button. Of course, we took off immediately. Just left him just standing naked on Ventura Boulevard.
That's his fault.
During the daylight hours as well. I remember another weird situation, too, which was me and my friend Chris drove home naked from the beach all the way home. And at some point, we had to get our trunks back on. So we pulled into my neighborhood and we just pulled over on a side street and started crawling into the back of the car to get the trunks from the back of the car. Because you couldn't have the trunks next to you. You know, I mean, the key was you had to chuck the trunks in the back of the car where you couldn't get to them. And as we were crawling around trying to fish our trunks out of the back, my mom was on a walk and literally just came up to the car. And my mom and my dad must have thought I was gay. They had to have thought I was gay. All these bizarre naked shenanigans, everyone peeing on each other. She must have thought I was. She didn't care, but she must have been convinced I was gay.
Well, if Sonny came home in a car full of a bunch of his naked buds, then yeah, I'm sure you wonder too. It's not weird to wonder that.
It was so we did. I think half the school thought we were gay because all of our bizarre. it was borderline homosexual. Our behavior. I will give it that. But
it kind of almost made it funnier knowing that other people thought that too.
Yeah. It's like. But I argue that at a certain point, when you're naked and you're with another guy and you're like doing combat, at a certain point, it becomes Greek. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even gay. It's just old worldly. You know what I mean? Like the, you know, they used to do, you know, when they would wrestle naked for the Olympics, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. We got some questions here. You want to get to them?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, Adam and Chris. Great listening to these things. Adam, wondering how you got hooked up with Dennis Prager. You turned me on to him, and I really respect his show and his views and his common sense. And just wondering how you guys got hooked up. I've never heard that story. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
I love common sense. Dennis Prager is a conservative talk show host who's a very religious guy, but it's a lot of wisdom. I love wisdom. I love common sense. Got a lot of wisdom, got a lot of common sense. I've always been a fan of that. I always listen to his radio show and every radio show out here in Southern California because that's what I was. I was kind of a talk radio junkie. And I guess I always kind of dreamt of hosting a talk radio show. But back then, I've just listened to it like, you know, like someone who maybe dreamt of being a musician would listen to a lot of Beatles records or something. And he had no idea who I was because he doesn't know anything about pop culture or Comedy Central or The Man Show or Loveline. He doesn't know anything about that stuff, which is good. He knows Russian literature and speaks five languages and knows the Torah. He doesn't know anything about pop culture. And at some point, I think his producer or his engineer, Sean was a fan of mine and obviously worked with Dennis. And I think Sean put us together. He was like, you got to hear this guy. And he invited me on his show. And, you know, the rest is history. He loved my common sense as well. I think when you run into common sense, you're very attracted to it. And if you're into common sense and you find it, it's very rare these days, especially. And so that's where it came in. Also, he's very gregarious guy. He loves to laugh. He loves my sense of humor. And, you know, I just kind of make him laugh. So and he kind of makes me think. And so it's a good hang.
All right, here's another question.
Hey, Ace Man, this is Luis from Boyle Heights. I was just wondering, how do you feel about the running back getting phased out of the NFL and becoming a quarterback league? It just seems that it's all about, like, flag football nowadays. It used to be running backs like Barry Sanders, Jerome Bettis were the face of the offense. And now it's like if you have a running back, they still want to put it in the quarterback's hands, and it pisses me off a little bit, you know? I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's totally true. Yeah, Alvin Kamara scored, what, 6 touchdowns a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, going into last week's playoffs, there's a lot of Derrick Henry talk, even though it never came to fruition. I think there are things that are trends that cycle, like take tight ends. When I was growing up, if you played tight end, you're essentially a blocker. And the tight ends for the teams, even at the professional level, weren't really pass catchers. They were more sort of glorified tackles with a number that started with 8. So at some point, you know, guys like, I don't know, Dave Casper, Kellen Winslow, guys like even Mike Ditka early on, people forget, was a great tight end. Some teams had a tight end they would use to throw the ball to. Now it's pretty ubiquitous, and a lot of these guys have the most catches on the team. So there's these kind of like cycles. And in this year, I did kind of feel like it cycled a little away from the tight end and a little more toward the wide receivers. So, you know, a couple of years ago it was tight end, you know, a bonanza of tight ends. Now there's a couple of tight ends, but it's kind of, we've been talking a lot more about wide receivers. Maybe it's because wide receivers are getting so big and they have all these guys on each team that are so big and dominant. They're like built like tight ends with the speed of a wide receiver, but stuff is cyclical and it goes for a while and then it makes a comeback. So I wouldn't count out running backs. I would just say it's a cyclical thing. Like, I'm still waiting for the punters to bring back the goddamn coffin corner. I miss the coffin corner. I can't tell you how many times you see these guys, they try to drop the ball down on the 6-yard line, but it just scoots right into the end zone and they get the touchback. Go for the coffin corner. But don't you, like,
Rams did it a couple of weeks ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they started to come. Beautiful. They started to come back with the coffin corner. But don't you feel like in practice there's really nothing for the punter to do but hang out and punt, right? I would, if I were the coach, I would put one of those big Rubbermaid trash cans right on each corner, right and left on the goal line, right where the sideline hits the goal line. And I would just put it right into those corners where the flag is, where the pylon is. And I'm like, you're going to spend all afternoon trying to drop this ball into one of those trash cans. That's your, well, actually, to be fair, I would slide the trash can 3 yards up the sideline. I wouldn't want it going to the end zone. So I do it. But yeah, right. No returns in a world where every team has a dangerous return man. I would work the coffin corner. Maybe they're looking at possession and muffed punts and stripping the ball and getting the ball back. But I don't know, when they're doing that thing where they're punting from the 43-yard line and the guy has to take a little leg out of it and get a little extra height and try to drop it down on the 5-yard line or whatever, go for the coffin corner. Plus, it's got alliteration, coffin and corner,
yes.
And it's fun. And it's always fun when the ref has to judge where it went out of bounds. You know, the guy, he's always running up the sideline, like, stop, stop. What do you keep running for? Like, because it always looks like it goes out in the very corner, but it flew out on the 14-yard line.
Yeah. Every camera angle looks different.
Right. Yeah. It'd be really, the coffin corner would be a really tough thing to replay. You know, like, it'd be really difficult. And the ref, what chances the ref have? He stands on the sideline, and he basically just looks up as the ball is flying toward him at 40 miles an hour. How would he know where it went out of bounds? Where in, and it's 30 feet above the, it's 30 feet above the out of bounds line, right? The sideline. So how the fuck does he know if it went out on the 9-yard line or the 13-yard line? All right. Maybe I'm making an argument against my coffin corner.
No, I think I agree with you. It should be akin to the knuckleball. There should just be guys who specialize in that.
Yes.
I'd love that, and just to see them scattered around the league.
Agreed.
All right, here's another question.
Hey, Adam. I was just starting to listen to your podcast about 2 months ago. I'm wondering if you'd answer a question for me. This is Brandon from Wisconsin. Some of your sayings like, hey guy, get it on, some of those catchphrases, I want to know the origin of them and their intention of them. Thanks a lot. Great podcast.
Thanks. Thanks, new listener. Hi guy comes from the deodorant commercial from the 70s where he would open the medicine cabinet and the guy's neighbor and like the other apartment, deceased actor, character actor, Chuck McCann would be on the other side of it when the guy opened his medicine cabinet. Instead of looking at the back of his medicine cabinet, he was looking at his neighbor and he would go, hi guy. And I always did that when I was a kid to my friends, you know, because all we had was these stupid TV commercials where you'd see the commercial and then the next day you'd see your friend and go, that's a spicy meatball, or I can't believe I ate the whole thing, or like, where's the beef? You know, you had to do got milk. Like, it was all this stupid catchphrase stuff. So I would always go, hi, guy. And I don't know, once something starts, kind of gets a life of its own. Get it on kind of started as a joke. I think me and Drew used to do it. It was based on that song. Was it by Chase? Is that the band? Get it on in the morning now. Ba-na-na-na. Big horns, Max Panna. And the guy would just go, get it on, get it on. Get it on in the morning now. And it would go, ba ba. And the guy would just go, get it on, get it on, get it on. Get it on in the morning. Get on in the evening now. Get it on, get it on, get it on. And I would always kind of joke. And I'd like, if that song ever came on the radio, I'd always turn to the person next to me and go, what do you think the name of the song is? And it's of course a joke because all they said was get it on. But it always kind of made me laugh. And I think me saying get it on all the time just has to do with that Chase song from the 70s where did we figure out that the lead guy died in a plane crash or was that some other band? I think the lead guy played the horn and I think he died in a plane crash. That's my some weird recollection of it. Dawson is shaking his head. Yes. Here he is.
Yeah, Bill Chase died at the age of 39. Oh, Dawson, this is the song.
You're loving. This is my karaoke jam. Oh, Joe. This is a panty melter. Of the day now. Get on in the morning now.
You're right.
He's talking about being super horny, right? Like he wants the time is right. He wants it when the moon is bright. He wants all through the night. That's going to be tough to hook up with this guy. He wants all through the night, but he also wants to get on in the morning. I'm going to make love to you. This is really just a song about dry humping. This is it. Nah, it's get on in the morning now, but he's also getting on in the evening, getting on in the wee hours. Like, there's not a time this guy... When is this guy's refractory period?
He gets it on around the clock.
It's going to be you and me. Like, see, right. I wonder if there were some lyrics that, like, didn't make the cut, like where the Chase guy was like, I got this song called Get It On, and his bandmates were like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. And it's like, get it on in the morning now. And I was like, nodding their head, like, yeah, yeah, get on in the evening now. Yeah. It's like, okay. Get it on even if you all don't want to and give consent. And everyone's like, huh?
Oh,
Get it on with your kid sister now. Ba-na-na-na-na, ba-na-na-na. Get it on while the dog watches now. Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na. Get it on with your stepdad in the room now. What's that?
The first two lines are great. I don't know about...
Get it on with your stepdad watching now? It was get it on in the morning.
Sing that.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, in the morning was really good.
So
yeah,
I got...
Shines bright. That one was nice. I thought...
I get on. Yeah, so I got get it on in the morning now. I got get it on in the evening now. I just want to check my lyric sheet. I got get it on while your stepdad watches and masturbates now.
No.
I got what?
No, I think we're
not. You don't want the morning?
I mean, that's all day. No, we could do morning and
oh,
evening.
Not the evening. I mean, so we go right from morning to stepdad?
No, we should do morning and evening. Let's lose the stepdad line. I think more people will relate to the morning and evening, and it covers our base.
Oh, okay. I get it. Yeah. No, I feel you. Not a ton of divorce.
It's a great tune. Very catchy.
Yeah. Okay. Get on while biological dad watches and masturbates now. Ba-na-na-na, like something like that?
No dads. No. Let's just lose all parts of the dad watching, any sort of father.
Oh, okay.
Watching.
So we got.
Let's just stay to the time of the day.
Well, who's in the room for when we get on in the evening? Like, I had the dog in there in the second verse. Is that, do we want the dog even?
Yeah, I'll give you the dog if we can move forward with, let's work on the bridge now. Cause,
Oh, okay. Get it on a bridge now. Ba-na-na-na-na. Get it on the Golden Gate Bridge.
The bridge of the song.
What? What bridge? Get on a trestle bridge now. Ba-na. Get on a cable bridge now. Ba-na. Get on a covered bridge now. Ba-na-na. I don't know that many bridges, but
I think we're losing direction here. I mean,
we'll get it on.
Was great.
We're gonna. So it's ba-na-na-na-na, boom, ba-na-na-na-na, ba-na-na-na-na, ba-na-na. And then I go get on in the morning now, and then the horns kick in again, right? And then I go get it on. In the evening now, right? And then, and then I go get it on in a trestle bridge while your stepdad watches and masturbates now. Is that what you're saying?
No. Oh, we're so close.
You don't want to do the morning part? You know, I'm totally confused now.
Maybe we just make this one of our shorter songs.
Oh, all right, I got one. Get on in the morning now. Get on in the evening now. Get it on while that weird clown puppet is watching us on your chair now.
No.
Just, you don't want the evening?
Morning. No, I love evening. I love morning and evening.
Okay.
Where's this clown puppet thing coming from?
All right. You know what? I'm going to go another direction. Get on in the morning now. Bunna. Get on in the evening now.
Yeah.
Bunna. Get it on while you're in REM and can't render consent now. Bunna. Boom. Bunna.
You know.
Get on when you're in a hospital bed now. Bunna. Get on after a roofie you do now. Bunna. Boom.
I think we should stick to rhymes it's a mouthful. I think we had it with morning and evening. Oh. Maybe we could even repeat that throughout the song. Let's just repeat the lines.
So what rhymes with hospice care? Hospice.
No.
What?
Don't rhyme anything with hospice.
Oh, well, I'll rhyme it with care. Hospice care, right? Hospice is stuff. Care. There. We'll get it on there. Get it on there, over there, during the hospice care. Ba-na-na-na-na, boom, boom. Oh, you're a genius, man. I'm going to write this shit down.
Don't write it down. I think... Maybe we make this an instrumental.
Okay. We'll just do the flugel. And scene.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, scene.
Yeah, that's where Get It On came from.
Love it. All right. Here's another question.
Hey, what's up, Adam? Just want to say I'm a really big fan. Thanks for doing the podcast.
No, oh, just the statement. Well, thank you for that statement.
I like that, though.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, well, question. We'll do it, and you'll listen, and here we go. Mere weeks away from 12 years of doing this show. So there you go. All right, next one.
Oof. Ace Man, Loxamana, have a question for you. Music question on an Americana band that I think Ace would love, and wanted to ask you because you have might have a personal connection to them. Band is the Rave Ups, and the lead singer and founder of the band was
Jimmer.
Married to none other than Beth Ringwald. Wanted to know if you'd ever heard from them, what you thought of them. Todd from Charlotte out.
The Rave Ups were a kind of popular local band from the probably early 80s. Jimmer, and I don't know his last name, but Jimmer was the name of the lead singer.
Petrasky.
Yep. They had a hit, or kind of a hit, got some airplay. They had probably two hits. They had one hit called Rave Up, and then they had another sort of half hit. I can't remember about your dog. And your
I have. They're known for Respectfully King of Rain and Positively Lost Me.
Their song was called Rave Up, which is weird. Well, the hit. Piece of trivia. Beth, sister of Molly Ringwald, well, they were neighbors of mine, or they were up the street when I was a kid, was in the movie Pretty in Pink, did not have a speaking line, but had a quick scene where, like, she was walking down the hall, and, like, she was very pretty blonde, and one of the football players, like, picked her up and carried her away or whatever. And I think Molly Ringwald was walking in the hall of her school in that movie and had one of those old school kind of denim blue kind of three binder notepads or binder book holders or whatever the hell they were, notebooks. And it said Rave Ups on it. It was written on it. That was my recollection. So Beth and Jimmer
I'm seeing that in Pretty in Pink that they played their song Rave Up, Shut Up.
Yeah, Rave Up was probably their hit, or maybe they had two hits. Jimmer and Beth got married young, had a kid young, and probably got divorced young. That's kind of my recollection of it. I don't know whatever happened to Jimmer, the Rave Ups. I don't know if they're around, if they reformed, if they... if he went on to, you know, score movies or anything. Dawson's coming in with more info. And by the way, you can listen live on the Stereo app. Yes, Dawson.
Jimmer joined me on my podcast, Front of House.
Oh, that's right.
About 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he came out with a new record. It's really good. It's really heartfelt. So he's still doing some music.
And then Beth went on to remarry a friend of mine from high school named Ken, who she dated in high school, and then took a little 20-year hiatus from, reconnected in adult life, and is living happily now. So good for her.
All right, here's another question.
Hey, Ace Man, Get It On. Wondering if you have any stories with the South Park guys. I never really hear you talk about them too much. Figured all your years at Comedy Central together, you might have crossed paths a couple of times. Have a good one.
Haven't spent a ton of time with Matt and Trey, although I think I went on Jimmy's brother John's bachelor party, and I feel like we went to Puerto Vallarta and, like, rented a house. And I think Matt was with us. Oh, maybe it was Trey. Can't goddamn remember. But one of the South Park guys, I was drunk the whole weekend. Don't hold me to it. But yeah, we went there. I think it was for John's bachelor party and had a laugh. That much I remember. Other than that, not a lot of commingling. I totally respect those guys, and I think they're super talented, and wish I did hang out with them more. But no, not really. And I guess they're a little enigmatic. They don't always make the rounds. You don't see them places. And no, for guys who've been on South, you know, guys who've been on Comedy Central as much as they've been on Comedy Central, and as much as I've been on Comedy Central, no, not a lot. Kind of interesting.
All right.
Ace Man, Chris, get it on. Enjoying the show. Laying in bed on the tail end of getting over COVID, almost out of quarantine. So appreciate all the podcasts and all the entertainment. I was just curious if you guys ever did anything like a senior prank at your school. Ours was we found an old Volkswagen Bug that was abandoned in the woods. We dragged it out, we painted it, put our class number on the side of it, and took it up to the front of the school and chained it up to the flagpole, and it stayed there for about 3 or 4 days till they finally came and towed it away. So curious if y'all ever did anything like that. Get it on.
Yeah. At my high school, the thing that people would do, I believe, is they'd go get the cow or the bull from the 4-H club department, and they'd bring the bull or the cow in, and they'd put it in like Mr. Space's office. It was like in his classroom. He was like the old teacher guy that everyone screwed with. So I think we put a cow in there. I had another guy who crapped into a bucket for like a week and then smeared it all over the place. That was a weird one.
That was a prank?
I guess so. He got busted too. And he was going to he was going to Cal too. And there was a big deal. Like, he's not going to be allowed to go. And it was kind of a mess, really, honestly.
That becomes a legacy.
I think we would take a car from auto shop and, you know, park it in the pavilion or whatever. For me, my prank was, I didn't want to do a prank in the middle of the night when there was nobody there. I wanted to do my prank during school hours. So what we did is we all met at my house, which is in my garage, which is right next to the school, and I had about 5-8 guys. And we filled water balloons, and we just filled and filled till we had like 200 water balloons. Then we broke into the school, and we went to the quad where everyone ate and sat around during lunch. And then we took the water balloons, and we stashed them. We put we took hefty bags. We put 25 over here and 25 over there, and everything else. And they're all spread around, and at noon or 12:30, you know, synchronize your watches. Everyone would spread out, go to their designated area, load up on water balloons, and pull on a ski mask, and then just converge back into the quad and start destroying everyone with water balloons. That's what we did. Now it would be considered like a terrorist attack. We all ran in.
Oh, yeah.
And we nailed everybody, and everyone was screaming, and no one knew what was going on. And then we all bid a hasty retreat to meet back at my house. And one of our friends, John, got busted and pulled off the fence, and people were chasing him and punching him and stuff like that. It was kind of a shit show, but they never proved we did it. They of course knew I did it. They knew I did it, but everyone was wearing a ski mask and a windbreaker, and there was no identifying anybody, and they all knew I was behind it, but I never got busted.
Yeah.
And that was my prank. Did you do a senior prank?
I was never involved in one personally, but at my class, some people took the light posts in the quad, all of the light posts, and just unbolted them from the ground and just laid them nicely onto the ground, so you came to school and all the light posts are just laying horizontal on the ground.
I wonder if kids now, I think they're going to do like a Zoom virtual prank where everyone just like presses their ass against the camera on their computer at the same time or something. I mean,
I know, you got to get creative now.
You got to get creative now. You can't set your own room on fire or put a cow in your own room. But now we're going to have to do some sort of California Zoom virtual senior prank. Ugh. All right. You guys are listening on stereo. And if you want to join us live coast to coast, you can do it on stereo. What else you got, Max Banner?
Am Corolla. Loved you all the way back from the Man Show when I found out about you.
Appreciate
all the work you've done for comedy. Keep it up.
All right. I can, will do. Done and done. I can handle that. What's the next one, Max Banner?
Here we go.
Hi, Adam. We're about the same age and grew up watching all the same TV shows, but I've never heard you mention Ultraman. Did you ever watch that? Keep up the great work.
You know, I wasn't much into, I'm guessing Ultraman's a comic book thing or a superhero thing. Never really was into the superhero thing. I was much more into your Dukes of Hazzard or your Fall Guys or like your kind of action-y stuff. Like I love SWAT, the TV show. You know, I never got into comic books or playing cards or, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or Lord of the Rings. Like, I just never got into any of that stuff. It was always hands-on, blowing stuff up, shooting people, punching people. Like, I just didn't get into the comic book stuff, although I did love Spider-Man the cartoon, but it's only because they had a great theme song. Like, they had a super swinging, jazzy, big band, big arrangement kind of song. So I dug that because I love the I love the song. And Spider-Man is the only superhero that was like self-deprecating. Like he had a sense of humor about himself. Like he would never get the girl and all that kind of stuff. Like I found that endearing when I was young. But no, never Ultraman. You get into Ultraman, Max Pana?
No. No, I think that might have been before my time. I was big on Power Rangers as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's similar. They look alike. I'm looking at a picture of Ultraman now. And the Ninja Turtles were very big growing up for me, too. I, on the other hand, I liked both karate and fighting and fantasy. So if it's karate mixed with mutant turtles that were human-sized, I'm all for it.
All right. What else we got?
Here we go.
Hey, how you doing, Adam Carolla? Big fan. I just jumped on. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I heard your show the other day with Ed Calderon. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's the best.
Yeah, Ed's a great mixture of kind of measured information with a kind of a candor and clarity, but also he's not talking out of his ass. You know what I mean? Like when he tells you something, it's based on information he has or experiences he has, and it's no joke. I feel like there's a little bit of a blackout on the news in terms of what's going on in Mexico, because we like to really focus on how shitty the United States is, and that's what all the news is about. But we don't, you know, here's an interesting example or thought experiment. You know, we have two countries that border us. We have Canada and Mexico. Canada arguably is one of the cleanest, nicest, you know, liberal, least violent, whatever countries in the world, right? Like who's more civilized than Canada, right? Alex J. Fox is from Canada. So, you know, Alex P. Keaton and Michael J. Fox. So I knew that was wrong when I said it. all right. Michael J. Fox and Alex P. Keaton. All right. Canada is like one of the most civilized places in the world. Now, look, I don't want to get into the weeds about, well, yeah, they had a man, they, you know, they had a serial killer in 1971. Yeah, yeah, I get it. But I'm just saying, not a lot of, not tons of homicide, not a lot of human trafficking, no drug cartels, the best I can tell. You know what I mean? Pretty stable government, you know, stable, nice, right?
Yeah.
Then we have another country who's on our other border that's essentially a narco state. The what's going on there is insanity. It's heads and duffel bags. It's cartels warring. It's folks who was the Mormons getting gunned down in SUVs, Mormon moms with their kids being assassinated.
Horrific.
Crazy grift and assassinations and corruption going all the way up to the highest levels. You know, police chiefs being assassinated on courtroom steps in chaos and insanity. You don't hear much about either one of them. Like, you know, Canada is kind of like, well, Justin Trudeau wants to enact legislation, whatever. You don't hear anything out of it. We should be hearing tons of shit out of Mexico, right? We don't hear anything out of Mexico. There's nothing out of Mexico. I have my suspicions. I think, A, we're so busy beating up this country, we don't have time to beat up Mexico. And then B,
right,
all the mainstream media decided a few years ago that everyone in Mexico was just some hardworking immigrant who was looking for a better life. And anything that flies in the face of that narrative, they will not report. So it's just the caravan. It's just a bunch of moms and their 5-year-olds like coming over here seeking a better life. They don't talk about gangs. They don't talk about drugs. They don't talk about assassinations. They don't talk about any of that shit. Meanwhile, Chinese are over there setting up labs, cooking up fentanyl, and it's insane. But no, there's no political will there. Also,
Canada.
Yeah, I think they kind of look at it as possibly racist if you talk any shit about Mexico. So I think that's part of it, too. All right, let's do one more.
Sure.
Smooth Jazz King here. I am loving the vibes from this podcast. Mr. Carolla, I have a question for you. What type of music do you get down to? Let me know. Peace, y'all.
What kind of music did I get down to before I heard this? Because this is my new sexual jam. If of course, it was Get It On by Chase, as previously mentioned, but now that has taken a back seat to Chef from South Park, loving me down in all the right ways. So I've got to say, the answer is in the question. It is literally the song you provided for us. And again, if you are listening, we're live on the Stereo app right now. And that was a good one to go out on. I feel like...
I think so, too. I feel good about that. I feel good after that.
I didn't, most of these questions don't have a lot of production, but that one did, and God, but who was that? Did he
music,
say
music, the reverb?
Did he say his name?
Smooth Jazz King or something like that.
Well, keep those coming every time we do this, because I love to hear them. On the Stereo app, that is on the Stereo app, and I can be found this weekend. Where's my plugs?
Yeah, where am I going to be? Off the Hook.
Off the Hook.
We're going to Off the Hook in Naples. Kyle Dunnigan is going to be with us Friday night.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma City, February 26th, 27th. And then you're going to Kansas City, Missouri, Royal Oak, Michigan, Waukegan, Illinois.
Yeah, come hang out at Off the Hook if you're out in, where was it in Florida? Sorry, I keep screwing that up.
Naples.
Naples, Florida. I hear it's beautiful out there. Weather's great. And it's free.
Yeah.
I mean, freedom. Tickets ain't free, but it's freedom. So come hang out. We'll do stand-up as well. Two shows Friday, Saturday. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Brian and Gina and Chris Maxpat and Dawson now. Saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. and pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.